Psalm 23 is perhaps the most familiar psalm. And because it is so familiar, there's always a danger, isn't it? You've heard it said, familiarity breeds contempt. And we can almost wrinkle up our noses and think we've heard everything that has to be said or taught from this psalm. Well, this psalm is about God, Yahweh. And you can never exhaust God. But this is what Psalm 23 is essentially about. It's about God the shepherd. No greater shepherd. And if we look at this psalm from a Christological perspective, and we can, in light of John chapter 10, Jesus is the good shepherd. But this psalm teaches us not only about God, not only about Jesus, but it teaches us about ourselves. This sheep metaphor is very revealing and very telling. It's interesting when you think, again, who wrote this psalm. It was David. David puts himself under the image of a sheep. David is king. David was a great king. David was a great soldier. There are few men we meet in our Bible who were as multi-talented and gifted as David. But as great as David is, David never forgot that he was a sheep. Many believe that this psalm was written on the back end of his life. It's written by a man who has been seasoned by trial, purified by fire. It's written by a man who has suffered, who is spiritually disfigured because of sin. David knows what he's talking about from his own experience. He's like a war veteran who's been in the trenches and who's thrown a few grenades and had a few thrown at him. And certainly a man of this experience is worth listening to. He has battle scars. He's stared the enemy in the face and he's still alive to tell us about it. But David, using the analogy or this figure of metaphor of sheep, realizes his own vulnerability and weakness. You see, this is why David uses this metaphor of shepherd and sheep. He wants us to understand our relationship to God, our relationship to our enemies, and also the dangers that we face because we are like sheep. Sheep are vulnerable. And sheep are not noted for their courage, fortitude. Sheep easily go astray. And sheep are big blobs of wool. When the enemy approaches, watch out. They can't run very fast. They have no fighting instinct. They don't have sharp claws or sharp teeth. They are easy pickings for predators. Sheep is not a very flattering picture, is it? You wish he could have chosen something different. Lions? Eagles? I mean, you could even argue for the Canadian beaver. Beavers are pretty hard workers. But sheep? That's the picture. Sorry. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And Psalm 23 is a good mirror to help us maintain a healthy perspective when it comes to God the shepherd, but also when it comes to ourselves. Psalm 23, however, wasn't merely written to humble us and deflate our egos. No, David picks up this pen to write Psalm 23 primarily to comfort us, because, again, it's about the shepherd. He wants us to know that this shepherd is committed to our care. He's an all-sufficient shepherd. He can take care of the sheep. And Psalm 23 is written to tell every one of the sheep, the shepherd is committed to taking care of you every day of your life. The green pastures, the still waters tell us that, but there's something else that David tells us here to help us understand that the shepherd is committed to our care. He uses another image, verse 4. It's the image of a dark valley. And let me try to explain the significance and what David wants us to know by this imagery of the shadow of death. I'm going to use 5 words to unlock, I trust, Psalm 23, verse 4. 5 words. They all begin with P. That makes it easy to remember. The first key word is picture. The second key word is practice. The third key word is problem. The fourth key word is presence. The fifth key word is paradox. Five words, key words, to unlock the meaning of Psalm 23, verse 4. The first P word, or key word here, that I'm going to use is picture. The Bible, you could say, is like a photo album. It's full of pictures, both Old Testament, New Testament. It gives us lots of pictures, metaphors, similes, to help us understand who God is, to help us understand who we are, to help us understand the Christian life. Many of the pictures are pictures of God. Think of the fact that God is likened to a rock. God's likened to a mighty fortress. God's put under the picture of a lion or an eagle. And Psalm 23 gives us a great picture of God. It's God is put under this image of a shepherd. But if you look at the psalm, there are other images or graphics, at least seven graphics here. Shepherd, sheep, green pastures, still waters. God later on puts himself under the image of a host. You have the image of table, a cup, oil, house. Psalm 23 is full of pictures. Verse 4 in particular, we have another picture. In fact, there are several pictures here. It's a picture of a valley. It's a picture of walking. It's a picture of a rod and a staff. And I want us to zoom lens this matter of the valley. It's the primary picture here. Notice it's not a green, lush valley where you see the sun or you see the pretty flowers. This is a dark valley. A deep valley. Where the sun disappears and you might even find remains of skeletons in this valley because certain animals never got out of it. I do think this picture of the valley is in keeping with what you would call shepherd geography. David knows the land of Palestine. He's lived there all his life. And I'm sure you know that the land of Palestine is a land of contrast, not only in terms of topography, but also in terms of climatology or the weather. In Palestine, you have very, very hot days, summer days, months. And in the later time of the year, you also have winter days. And you can have snow on the ground. Apparently, when snow covered the ground, shepherds would actually climb up trees, cut down the branches so they could feed the sheep the tender twigs and the green leaves. Some think that this psalm is a picture here in verse 4 of mid-November when the grass starts to grow up on the hilltops. There's a contrast here also, isn't there, in terms of when you think of Palestine, valleys, and there are mountains. There can be lots of grass in the valleys, but there can also be lots of grass in the mountains, depending on the time of the year. So David has us walking with the shepherd. The sheep are always with the shepherd. And yes, the shepherd will bring the sheep into those green, lush valleys when the sun is shining. But in the months of November, when there are those high, lush pastures in the higher regions, he has to get up there and he has to go through valleys or ravines. The ravines were carved out by flash floods and by rivers and by a process of erosion of many, many years. But these deep valleys or ravines could be very treacherous, easy, not easy to climb into and not easy to climb out of. And what would add to the fear element when it came to these deep ravines or these deep, dark valleys is that predators would hide in them. Animals. Animals that knew that other animals would be coming through these ravines and they were waiting. Well, that's the picture. That's the picture David has for us. Sheep going through a deep, dark, treacherous, dangerous valley or ravine. So that's the first P word, picture. But second P word, practice. Notice here that the sheep are walking through the valley. The sheep are following the shepherd. He picks up another metaphor, this walking metaphor, and you probably know this, that the Christian life is often put under this figure of walking. Enoch, back in Genesis 5, was described as a man who walked with God. It's a positive representation of a man who lived a holy life, a consistent godly life, a progressive godly life. Walking is one of the favorite pictures of the Christian life in the New Testament. Think of how many times the Apostle Paul would pick up this image of walking. Romans 6, walk in the newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5, walk by faith, not by sight. Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit. If you turn over to the book of Ephesians, he picks up this metaphor several times. Ephesians 5, 2, walk in love. Ephesians 5, 8, walk as children of light. Ephesians 5, 15, walk not as unwise, but as wise. I trust you see why that's a great metaphor for the Christian life. It underscores that the Christian life is, in one sense, a very ordinary, day-by-day life. It requires getting into your Bible day-by-day, praying day-by-day, fellowshipping with God day-by-day. Walking suggests progression. Development. You're going somewhere. You're headed somewhere. It's not wandering aimlessly. There's purpose in life. And these sheep are walking. That's significant. They're not running. They're not hiding. You think that might be what they would do. This is a deep, dark valley. It's not an easy place to walk through. The dark valley is the sheep's worst nightmare. No sheep would choose to go into a dark valley. Not on their own. Something else you might note here by this walking metaphor, it tells us something about trials. Trials can last for a while. Trials can go on for some time. We don't like trials. And we don't like long trials. Sometimes people try to get out of their trials. They push eject buttons. They run. Today, that's what you see. They run from their marriages. They run from places of employment. They run from churches. They run from relationships, friendships. But this sheep is not running. This sheep is walking. He's bearing the trial. Now I know there are other images in our Bibles that would be somewhat distinct and different from this metaphor of walking. Sometimes Christians, believers, have a hard time even standing up. Psalm 73, remember Asaph talks about his feet were almost slipping. He had a hard time standing in the midst of his trial. Sometimes Christians find themselves sinking. That's another metaphor when it comes to trials. Psalm 69, I sink in the deep mire and there's no foothold. It's interesting that John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress picks up this image of the valley, the deep dark valley or the shadow of death, and he warns that there are dangers on either side of this valley. There's a ditch on the one side and there's a quagmire on the other side. What's Bunyan telling us? Well, trials can be dangerous times. Be careful how you walk. Bunyan understood that the deep, dark valleys are not easy places to navigate. We can lose ground spiritually. We can backslide. We can lose ground morally. Be careful how you walk. Now that's the point. Using key words to understand Psalm 23, verse 4, first P word picture, second P word practice, third P word is problem or pain. I'm sure you've all been exposed to a brand of Christianity. It's very popular here in America, by the way. It suggests that all suffering is wrong. and that suffering is sinful. Every time you suffer, it's because you've made bad choices. I recently heard that there are now some Pentecostal groups and charismatic groups that are actually changing the words of the wedding vows. So instead of saying for better, for worse, you just say for better. Instead of saying for richer, for poorer, you just say for richer. And if they want to rid everybody of any negative thoughts or any negative thinking. But that's just not Christianity, is it? And then David here doesn't gloss over the problem. He calls it a death valley or a valley of the shadow of death. And if you read through the Psalms, a lot of them have us facing suffering eyeball to eyeball because it's real. Christians suffer, believers suffer. And the picture here that David gives us is a picture of significant suffering. Significant. This isn't little ordinary everyday suffering. No, this is significant suffering. This is life-altering. This is catastrophic. It carries with it lots of pain. Fear, maybe. It's even hard to put in words. That's why David uses a picture instead. In the original, you have one word. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of death. It's the Hebrew word, selmetheth. It's found about 20 times in the Old Testament. Most of them are found in the book of Job. I think 9 of them. Some debate over the translation here. Deep darkness. Deep shadow. Death shadow. I think any one of those are legitimate. The NIV, the New International Version, which sometimes gives us a nice contemporary equivalent, says, though I walk through the darkest valley. The darkest valley. It is interesting that the Hebrew word, again, as I said earlier, this word pops up more times in the book of Job. Job understood dark valley. Every one of Job's trials could have been put into a figure of a dark valley or a death shadow. Think of what he endured. Think of what he was going through. He had the dark valley of domestic grief and loss. He lost all of his children. He went to his grave, feeling the pain of that loss. He suffered financially, vocationally. He went bankrupt, you could say. That might have gone on for a few years. He suffered excruciating physical pain. How long did that go on? We can't be sure. Maybe a couple of years. And add to the darkness and the depth of his valley experience, Job's friends and his acquaintances leave him on his own. Job feels the death valley of abandonment. That often happens in a long trial. Your friends fade away. Psalm 23 has a picture of a sheep who's all by himself. This psalm is very individualized, very personalized. It's full of personal pronouns. And remember who's writing it. This is David. And again, you can point at David's life, front end, middle point, back end, and David seems to find himself in a valley. He had some of those near-death experiences at the hands of King Saul. That went on for a few years. David also experienced significant long-term trials with his own family. His son raped his daughter. His son Absalom tried to oust him from the throne, and it succeeded. So there are and can be many dark valleys. You see, there's just not one dark valley. Some of the most painful valleys are relational. Betrayals. Divorces. Prodigal sons, prodigal daughters. You wake up one morning and your father tells you, I'm leaving your mother. There can be the deep valley of physical suffering, a severe accident, disease, surgery that disables you for the rest of your life. We can lose loved ones and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and children. David lost two of his sons. The baby son that came out of the womb of Bathsheba. He also lost his son Absalom in his adult life. David knew what it was to weep and grieve over the loss of children. Sometimes the darkness or the death valley can be mental or psychological. You can go through long periods of deep, dark depression. You can suffer for years and there doesn't even seem to be a break in the clouds. In the case of a man by William Cooper, we sing some of his hymns, he, at the back end of his life, was found in an insane asylum. Spurgeon had ongoing bouts with depression. He went through a real dark valley at one point in his life when the place where they were renting in terms of, before they got to the Metropolitan Tabernacle, but there were about 12,000 people there and some said there was a fire that broke out and 7 people were killed. Lost their lives. And Spurgeon was vilified in the press and suffered a lot because of that one incident. Spurgeon went through a period of time where he went against much of the Baptist representatives of that day, called a great controversy, the downgrade controversy. Spurgeon was booted out of the Baptist Union. And he said, "This fight is killing me." He had a wife who became almost an invalid not too long after they were married. He had severe bouts with depression and gout. He says, "My hands and my feet are all pain." We walk through valleys. We all will walk through valleys. This is a broken world. And we will never escape the curse. We will never be walking in light so bright that we never see shadows. And you only have to listen to the Good Shepherd himself. He tells us that suffering will be normative Christian experience. Expect significant suffering in your life. Jesus never promised a comfortable life. On the contrary, he said, "You will have tribulation in this world." He said, "The world has hated me, it will hate you." He told his disciples, "Pick up a daily cross." He said, in one of those Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who are persecuted." We don't escape dark valleys. And the older you get, the shadow of death gets nearer, and it does seem to get darker. The last enemy kills. And look carefully here. It's the shepherd who brings us into the shadow of death. He's taken us into that shadow of death. You say, "Why would a shepherd do that?" Well, it's because he's a wise shepherd. And he knows that a soft, easy life doesn't produce strong, fruitful Christians. You want to be a Puritan? Want to be like the Puritans? You know what made the Puritans the Puritans? Well, it was their knowledge of the Bible. They loved their Bibles, but they suffered a lot. Both sides of the Atlantic. They knew what it was to go through dark valleys. But let me say, this dark valley isn't totally dark. It's not because there's some artificial spotlight in this valley, but because someone else is in that valley, and that's the fourth key word, the word presence. Dark valleys, significant sufferings, can trigger bad reactions, fear, anger, resentment, complaining. We can actually blame God or accuse God or question God or doubt God. Turn over to Mark chapter 4, you see the disciples of Jesus doing exactly that. Here they are in the midst of a significant suffering, the storm on the Sea of Galilee, Mark chapter 4. And notice how they respond to this trial. Verse 38 tells us that as Jesus was in the stern of that boat, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" They doubted Jesus. They doubted Jesus. They doubted his love. Don't you care? That must have stung them. Doubted God. Job blamed God. Job went a little further, didn't he? He's my enemy. He thought God was out to kill him. Jonah, he didn't blame God. He didn't doubt God. He just ran from God. That's what it appears the Hebrew Christians were doing in the book of Hebrews, in going through some dark times of suffering, and some of them apparently weren't showing up for church anymore. And that's why he says to them, "Forsake not the assembling of yourself together." Don't run. On a private level, you can stop reading your Bible. You can stop praying. You can run from God that way too. But look here again, the sheep of Psalm 23, this one sheep, maybe there's a lot of them there, but they're not running, they're walking. That's a good sign. That means this sheep is facing the trial honestly, realistically, meekly, submissively. But to better understand why this sheep is doing so well, you have to understand something about the shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 4 tells us that the shepherd is in that dark valley. The same shepherd who led them into the green pastures beside the still waters is the shepherd who leads them into the dark valley. He's right there. Notice verse 4 tells us, "I fear no evil, for you are with me." See that little prepositional phrase? Makes all the difference in the world. You are with me. Now someone might say, "Well, isn't God everywhere?" Well, you're right about that. Psalm 139, David even says that. He says, "I can't get away from you. No matter where I go." He understood the omnipresence of God. But there is a special presence of God. You could call it a Christological presence of God. Jesus promises his presence. "When two or three are gathered in my name, I am there." He said, "I am there in a special way. I am there in a personal, relational way." And it comes through here in Psalm 23. The very grammar of Psalm 23 changes in verse 4. Something happens here. First three verses of Psalm 23, David has been talking about the shepherd. I think I mentioned that a few sermons ago. He. It's great to talk about the shepherd. It's great to talk about his love and his mercy and his kindness and his goodness. But notice here in Psalm 23, he's not talking about the shepherd. In verse 4, he's talking to the shepherd. You see that? Second personal you. Something's very intimate. Something's changed. Something's happened here. Something has driven this sheep closer to the shepherd. What was it? Well, it wasn't the green pastures. It wasn't the still waters. It wasn't the comfortable surroundings. It wasn't because he was enjoying life and sitting in a lazy boy chair. But this is a dark valley. A dark valley. That's what's made the difference. The dark valley has brought the sheep closer to the shepherd. That's why he switches from third person singular to second person you. You are with me. This sheep is enjoying the presence of the shepherd. He's fellowshipping with the shepherd. He's talking to the shepherd. He sees the shepherd with clarity. We all suffer from what someone has called attention deficit disorder. All of us do. ADD. And that means that our minds and our hearts get focused on so many things. Other things. It's hard for us to focus on Christ. It's hard for us to think only of Christ. It's hard for us to focus on Him. And there's so many things that come into our lives, legitimate things. They're not bad things, worries and cares and responsibilities. But they can pull us away from God and from Christ. Think of Martha. Martha, Martha. She had ADD. And she wasn't talking to Him. She wasn't listening to Him. Mary was. But Martha wasn't. And we all know we can go through the motions. Yeah, I had devotions last week. Okay. Great. But did you meet the Savior? Did you really talk to Him? Did you really listen to Him? Your prayer was cold. It was shallow. You were going through the motions. Your heart wasn't there. And it happens pretty frequently, doesn't it? It's really called earthly mindedness or worldliness. It creeps in faster than you and I can ever think. The cares of the world. And Jesus has little time in our lives. Focus of attention until the dark valley. Until the dark valley. And suddenly you realize you need Him. You need Him. You realize there's only one person who can help you. Do you realize you need Him in a way you didn't realize you needed Him before? And you begin to pray. You really begin to pray. And you begin to look for Him. Maybe behind every blade of grass. You begin to listen to Him. And you begin to talk to Him. And suddenly you reach out and you grab that promise, a promise that has been called the central promise of the Bible. It's right here. He's with you. He's with you. And something else that this sheep sees and understands about the shepherd, he understands the strength of His presence. He understands He's there, but he understands He's there with His rod and His staff. He's got instruments to help me, to protect me, to guide me. Five key words. Open up this verse. Picture, practice, problem, presence. There's one final word. Paradox. You know what a paradox is? It's where two things are put together or said to be experienced, and you say, how can they be experienced in the one and same person? They're opposites, or like fire and ice. But the Christian life is full of paradoxes. Well, we should be, if we're growing in grace, we should be shrinking. Right? Growing in humility, that means you shrink. God gets bigger, you get smaller. But we should be growing, stronger, growing in faith, love. And there's a paradox of enjoying rest. We heard about that in the Sunday school. But there's also this war where we never get off the battlefield. The paradox of rejoicing, rejoicing always, but we are to be people who mourn and over our sin. Blessed are they that mourn. Rejoicing but mourning. And there's something of a paradox here. When you think of the dark valley, the death valley, you would say, everybody would say, that's the worst place that anyone could possibly be. But here's the paradox. It's the best place to be. And why is it the best place? Because that's where you see the shepherd. That's where Jesus becomes more precious. You see more of His majesty and more of His sympathy as a high priest. You see more of His power, His rod and His staff, more of His wisdom. And sometimes in those valleys you see more of your sin. But that's good too, because that means you run more to your Savior. You know that He can forgive you, but you see more your pride and your discontentment and your selfishness. You realize, I need the shepherd more. I need Jesus. I need grace. I need to go to Him again and again and say, will you forgive me? It's often in the valleys you enjoy the sweetest communion with your Savior. That doesn't mean you pray for valleys. Or do you ask God to bring you into your valleys? He'll take care of that. But the valley is sort of like a corrective lens. You haven't been seeing Him lately. The valley says, look, behold, the shepherd's here. He never left you. He never left you. In fact, He can't leave you. He can't leave you. He promised He wouldn't. Never, never will I leave you. If you're in the Death Valley tonight, be encouraged, because the shepherd's there. The shepherd's there. You just have to open your eyes to see Him. He has to be there. He has to be there. He's committed to taking care of you. And He will never, never leave you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. We pray that this would indeed be a word that would be used in our lives to help us to see You better and clearer, to help us, Lord, to appreciate more of who You are and how You protect us and guide us through life. May we enjoy more of Your shepherding care. May we be more thankful for Your shepherding care. And we pray for sheep who tonight find themselves in those dark valleys, those death valleys. May they realize in a new way, in a wonderful way, that You are with them. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.